Back on the Young Turks post-game, Casper, Elizabeth Warren was here, go.
Okay, so Elizabeth Warren was here, and just a little tiny bit of inside baseball. Cenk was gone when she was initially gonna do the interview, which was like a month ago or something, right? Mm-hmm. And so I got super excited because that meant I got to do the interview. And then something happened where she couldn't make it, and then she rescheduled for a time when you would be in studio. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bitter about that.
Just okay, keeping it 100. Right. No, okay. That happened. Okay.
All right, so that happened. But I'm glad you got to interview her. And then after the interview, I was super lucky, like Julie, you know, told me that I can come in and take a picture, like solo picture with her. Took the picture, posted it on Instagram. And I got a lot of positive reactions and a lot of, not a lot of, but I got some negative reaction that I just wanted to bring up. And I understand that maybe some of our members are not gonna like what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh, buckle up.
Okay, so, but I want you to hear me out because I think it's important. Okay, look guys. If a politician does one thing that you don't like, and I guarantee you every single politician is gonna do something you don't like, that doesn't immediately take away from every good thing that they've done, right? It's like the most frustrating thing in the world because look, yes, I was disappointed in her. She should have endorsed Bernie Sanders. That could have really helped him in Massachusetts. I don't know if he would have won the nomination with her endorsement alone, but I get it. That was a disappointing moment for Elizabeth Warren. That being said, she is one of the few principled politicians in Congress, and it's not just talk, right? It's action. Like if she just gave these passionate speeches and then there, you know, she talked the talk but didn't walk the walk, then I'd say, yeah, she's full of it, right? But she has been a fighter for consumers against Wall Street bullshit, okay? She has been super aggressive in fighting Wall Street. She's been super aggressive in fighting for students suffering with student loan debt. Like she's been such a great person all around. And yeah, she fucked up. But the reason why she fucked up with Bernie is because I think she's trying to like toe the line. And she, I don't know what that strategy was, but it sucked. I get it.
I know.
But like stop, please stop seeing everything as like, no, either good or bad. No, that's simplistic, childish thinking. And if you're a member and you think that way and you're offended, I don't apologize, okay? Because we got to grow up. We got to think a little bit and consider nuance, right? Anyway.
Okay, my first thing to say about this is drums.
I don't even know what song about that.
That was the alien beat.
Oh, okay. My favorite one.
Okay, we couldn't hear it in the studio. Okay. Anyways, well, I want to build on what Anna's saying. Because there's a super important distinction, which is, are they an honest actor or are they not an honest actor?
Mm-hmm.
So if, and are there mistakes of policy or politics? And I think these things matter. So if the reason why I still like Elizabeth Warren is because in my assessment, and you know, you could trust it, not trust it. Obviously, everybody has their own opinion, but you know, I think you guys are members. I think you have some degree of trust in my political instincts. I think that she is an honest actor. That she is principled. She is progressive. She fights for our side, and by our side, I don't mean Democrats. I mean progressives. Okay, but I think she made a significant political miscalculation and continues to make one. And so when you watch the interview, my guess is that a lot of you will be disappointed. And I don't blame you for the disappointment. And I don't think that you being angry about the political miscalculation is childish, and I don't think that's what Anna's saying.
No, I'm not saying that either.
Yes, yeah, because you think it's a miscalculation too.
I absolutely think it's a miscalculation, and I was honest about that and very open and transparent about that during the election, right? But I think that I think seeing an individual as either all good or all bad is very dangerous, especially considering the current political situation we're dealing with, right? No politician, including Bernie Sanders, is perfect, right?
Of course, of course. So like, so Ro Khanna is the congressman who came out and became a Justice Democrat. He backs Nancy Pelosi. I totally disagree with that. That doesn't mean there's a saying in Turkish that my mom uses far too frequently. Silip attım onu. Silip attım means I erase it and throw it away. Okay. So I don't erase him and throw him away because I disagree with him on Nancy Pelosi. It's normal. There's many things that we can disagree with each other on. I don't agree with Tulsi Gabbard's position on Iran, and I think she's amazing otherwise. And
yeah.
And I'm really disappointed. I'm really surprised at her position on Iran. If you know, and assuming that I have it right, I don't agree with Elizabeth Warren's position on Israel. And that's okay. And if you say I'm erasing and throwing away, then I think Anna does have a point in saying, come on, we can do better than that, okay? And we could be a little bit more mature in our decision making politically, because it is literally impossible for a politician to agree with all of your positions. When I say literally, yeah, I understand that you might get lucky and find one that matches you perfectly. Mm-hmm. But we're sentient human beings. If you're an honest actor, you will have honest positions that people don't agree with, right?
Right.
And for ones that agree on that issue, you'll lose others that disagree on another issue. So I don't believe in purity tests and et cetera. Now, let me get to what I think that she's still doing wrong. Even though I really respect her and I want her to do right, and I want her to be popular and to win a re-election in Massachusetts. And as I said in the interview, I think she's the second most progressive senator we have. So of course I want her to succeed on those grounds. And no one roughs up bankers better than she does.
I know, so good.
And look at the results she's achieved. This is not being an apologist for her, because I'm about to tell you what the things that I think she's doing really wrong right in a second. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, again, as I said in the interview, returned $11 billion to consumers that the bankers had wrongly taken from them. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. When she yelled at the Wells Fargo guy, who after that giant fraud that they had committed, mm-hmm. and said, why are you not fired? Why haven't you resigned in shame? A little bit later, he resigned in shame. Booyah! Results, fighting for the right causes. Okay, now, this is my guess. She's getting advice, solid guess though, okay. She's getting advice from Democrats in Washington who are telling her, hey, if you wanna accomplish things in DC, and if you wanna run for president, I don't know if she's going to, but she probably should, right? Mm-hmm. If I was her and Bernie Sanders is running, I wouldn't run. I just back Bernie, right? Mm-hmm. But if Bernie Sanders isn't running, I'd want her to run, and I think she should run, right? Hell of a lot better than Booker and all those guys.
Yeah.
A million times
better.
Yes. So, but they're giving her terrible advice, and she's making the mistake of accepting it.
You're right.
Not absolving her of responsibility, or dissolving her. Okay. So, and the advice that they're saying is, look, if you want to run and get to higher office, you have to be a team player. And you have to respect your Democratic colleagues. And by the way, this is advice that would have worked 4 years ago, just 4 years ago,
yep.
Right? But that's not the world we live in today. So in the interview, she backed Joe Manchin completely. Oh. Do I think that she believes the same things Joe Manchin does? No, not remotely. But you could tell, like, she's been told, no, don't throw your Democratic colleagues under a bus. Just attack Republicans and leave all the Democrats alone. It's a terrible political miscalculation.
It is.
It misreads the mood of progressive voters tremendously. And she talked about, you know, she talked around the non-endorsement of Bernie Sanders in the primaries. You know how you solve that? It's actually really simple. You know what, guys? I think you were right. I wish I'd have backed him, because maybe it might have made a difference.
Right.
And I agree with him more than I agree with any other senator.
I don't even know.
That's not that hard.
It's not hard. And maybe that'll win some of the liberal naysayers over. But you got to keep in mind, like, there's this interesting, like, subgroup within the Democratic Party that's so extreme that you literally can't say anything. You fuck up once and that's it. You're done. They've already cast you off. You're already, like, blacklisted. You're terrible, right?
Yeah.
And it's just so incredibly unfair considering the great things that she has done.
Yeah, I hear you. But look, if again, this is just political talk, not policy talk, right? If I was advising her, I would say, don't worry about that percentage, because that percentage is not that high, okay?
Right.
But do worry about 80% of progressive voters Democratic voters who now say that Bernie Sanders, they support Bernie Sanders, right? Those are the guys you should worry about. And those people are reasonable, they're really progressive, and they can't stand the establishment, even though a lot of the Hillary Clinton voters have now switched over.
Yeah.
And so whoever's giving you this super shitty advice to not offend anyone in the establishment has done you a great disservice. So that's my sense of it from having talked to her. You guys will watch the interview, you'll see for yourselves. You make your own judgment calls on it. But other than a couple of issues here and there where I have some small disagreements with her, you know, find me a Democratic senator other than Bernie who's more progressive than her. And if that's not good enough, if the second most progressive senator in the country is not good enough for you, then I really think you should put a little couple more thoughts behind what Anna is saying. Like, is that too strident and stringent a standard?
And by the way, I think having incredibly high standards is a good thing. I think that's important, right? But I think that, you know, applying those standards at the right time makes the most sense, because Elizabeth Warren is the type of politician, you know, once she's elected, she's the type of politician who listens to her base, and she's principled and she does the right thing, right? And so there's nothing wrong with electing someone that isn't perfect and then holding their feet to the fire and making sure that they listen to their base. Yeah. That's what I want.
So one last thing on it. Again, if you say the third most progressive senator, or even the second one, if they are, you think they're making decisions based on appealing to donors and they're corrupted, well, and hence you write them off, then I agree with you,
yeah,
right? But that's not the sense I get from Elizabeth Warren at all. And I could be wrong about it, but that's not the sense I get. So as long as she's not corrupted and she's an actual progressive, I can look past political miscalculations, even ones that I think are really, really bad.
Yeah, and also just keep in mind.
And by the way, me looking past it is gonna be irrelevant if she continues down that road. Because if she goes to run in a primary and she's still saying the same things, she ain't gonna win.
Yeah. One final thing I wanted to add is, like, just don't forget that she didn't endorse Hillary during the primaries. Yeah. She endorsed Hillary after the primaries were over. And you know who else endorsed Hillary after the primaries were over? Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, we did, Bernie Sanders did, because it was at that point realistically Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. I know a lot of you disagree, and obviously we've got a host here who have, God bless him, honest disagreement on that. You know, but so I don't hold that against her at all. But you know, I know, we said it at the time, 0.3% in Iowa, 1.3% in Massachusetts. He could have won Iowa, he could have won New Hampshire, back to back, it would have been, as a matter of optics, not as a matter of delegate count, but as a matter of optics, it would have been big. He could have gotten Massachusetts in his column. In those early primary states, would have been a nice win for him. Impossible to know whether that would have made a difference. But the point is to do the right thing. And in that case, she, in her Senate career, has done the right thing on policy, but did not do the right thing politically there. And it's not just a miscalculation on her part, it hurt the progressive cause. So I get why you're angry at her and why I was also upset. But look, the proof's in the pudding. So we'll see what she does going forward. And if she does the right things, then I'll be on her side. And if she doesn't, I won't. And that's that, right? Okay, so now on to Oxford real quick. I got invited by the Oxford Union to do a debate on money in politics. And they propose a statement, and then you have to be either on the side of the proposition or the side of the opposition. The statement in this case was, is democracy for sale? Or democracy is for sale. And I was on the side of the proposition, yes, mm-hmm, it is. Mm-hmm. And three speakers on both sides. You guys wouldn't recognize the first two speakers on our side, just simply because they're British. Mm-hmm. One is from the House of Lords, another one was a really smart activist on these issues in Britain. On the other side was a student, and then two super heavyweights. Floyd Abrams, probably the top First Amendment lawyer in the country, mm-hmm, and then James Bopp Jr., who was the conservative lawyer who won Citizens United. And so I prepped, I wasn't sure if I prepped enough. The Wolfpack guys, bless their hearts, sent me some great research. Sam Fieldman, Allison Hartson, Mike Mineta, thank you guys. Not only what our position is, I know what our position is, but they did research on what Bob's position is and what Abrams' position is, what their arguments normally are. We always outwork them. They always underestimate us, and we always work harder, right? And I prepped, and I always want to prep more. But of course, it's, you have a 10-minute speech. Like, I barely got, I don't think I got through half of the things that I wanted to say. And it was important stuff, and it was a lot of details, so I had these huge notes in front of me, and I thought I was going to just mainly kind of read off the notes as a lot of, as most of the people did. But once I got started, I put the notes aside.
Of course,
and immediately went bulldozing ahead. And a lot of people, you know, they're quiet, understandably so, like they're having a reasoned debate, etc. I'm animated.
Yeah.
And there's a super fun way that they do the voting. I think it's a little inexact because anyway, if you are voting yay, you walk through one side of the door when you're leaving at the end of the debate. And if you're voting nay, you walk on the out on the other side. All right. And I said, but one of the things I said in my speech was, I wish there was a door for of course.
Yeah.
Okay. And I laid out the case, and I did it with facts and statistics, and did the Princeton study that I've told you guys about. 20 years, 1800 policies, public opinion has no effect on public policy, donor opinion has a direct effect. Well, then obviously democracy is for sale. I could rest my case on that alone. 95% of the time, the guy with more money wins congressional seats. They kept saying, but Trump won and he got outspent. Yes, in the presidential elections, you have a lot of free media. Trump got $2 billion of free media in the primaries alone. So that is the exception, not the rule, right? Brexit, a ton of free media. That is the exception, not the rule. Mm-hmm. When you're running a congressional race in Nebraska, there's almost no free media. You just buy all the ads and then you have a megaphone louder than them. I don't want to go through my whole argument, but couple points to note once all the dust settled. One is, we're not so bad, right? Like, I was a little worried about the heavyweights, right? And at the end of the day, they're human and their arguments are wrong. So I had a huge advantage because I'm right, right? Mm-hmm. No, but I'm being serious. I mean, if you're in a debate and you're in the correct, you have the correct position,
right?
It's a lot easier to win, right?
Yeah.
And so they didn't have any genius arguments. And then I realized at the end, like Bob's arguments, I thought were really piss poor, to be honest, right? And he won the Citizens United case.
Yeah.
That changed so many things, right? It's because the Supreme Court was going to rule that way anyway. It's not like Bob made some genius arguments and they're like, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Why don't we let billionaires buy all of our politicians? Why don't we let corporations have unlimited money in politics? No, they were going to rule that way anyway. So it didn't really matter what Bob said. Of course he doesn't have a winning argument.
Right.
He'd say absurd things like, if they limit money in politics, they're trying to limit the voice of the average man.
What?
That's the exact opposite of what's happening, right? But he was pretending that liberals just want to shut off the average man's voice. What average man? They're putting in hundreds of millions of dollars. What average man are you talking about? In fact, they're buying a metaphorical megaphone that is killing the average man's voice.
Right.
That you can't hear anybody else because of the $100 million megaphone that guy brought in. Or in the case of the Koch brothers, literally, in some of the races, what was it, $300 million? I'm losing track now of all the money that they spend.
Jesus Christ.
It's unbelievable. But you know why? Here's a stat I didn't get to. The top 200 most politically active companies spent $5.8 billion over a recent five-year stretch. $5.8 billion in lobbying. It's an unbelievable amount of money. You know what they got in return in tax subsidies and contracts from the US government? $4.4 trillion.
Oh my gosh.
So they say public financing is expensive. No, private financing of elections is the most expensive thing you could do. So anyway, bottom line is two things happened at the end. One, I think I feel bad saying it, but I think I kind of rattled Floyd Abrams. You're supposed to say point of information if you want to ask someone a question in the middle of their speech. And near the end of my speech, he just jumped up, didn't say point of information. And he's like, are you accusing people in the media of being corrupt?
Yeah.
And I was like, first of all, that's a common trick that people do to say like, oh, my friends are unimpeachable. How dare you? Are you saying these guys? And I said, my answer is yes. They're not personally corrupt. They're systemically corrupt.
Yeah.
But he was rattled. Like, if I had done a shitty job, you think he'd have jumped out of his seat?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? He'd have just been like, oh, poor Rob.
Dude, son of a bitch. Sounds so fun. I'm so jealous.
So you guys, they'll put up the video, I hope later this week, if not within about a week. So you guys get to see it yourself. I mean, I don't know if my explanation of is overly dramatic. You'll see. You'll see with your own eyes. And then
did it get heated? Like,
a little bit, a little bit. Like, that was maybe the most heated part.
Yeah.
But it's just it's subdued.
Civil, yeah.
Subdued until I spoke.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I felt at the whole UCLA thing. And that wasn't even set up as a debate. So I kind of understand why, you know, we weren't supposed to like get into it or get too animated. But it's hard. Like, it's when someone says something that's just completely false, incorrect, whatever, like, you just, how do you calmly, I do declare, and then, you know, get into like this bullshit calm response? No, I'm animated too, like, because I'm into it. Like, this isn't a game for me, right? Yeah. This isn't just a job for me. This is something I care about. So I can see why you would get animated too.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So who won? Now, it's a debating society. So a lot of times the votes are really, really close because, you know, you can make an argument for anything, and plus they're intellectual kids, so they really want to consider the other side. I think that if we were in a room of non-Oxford Union debating society folks, students, or average citizens of Iowa or Manchester or anywhere, right? I think that would be a landslide, even if you didn't put together a decent argument. It's like too easy to win, right?
Yeah.
I think. Even within the strictures of the debating set, it said 108-60.
You, right?
Yeah. Of course. Of course, please, I won. No, by the way, I didn't win, we won. And there was the three of us plus the students spoke out in favor and against as well. And so they had 2-minute speeches before the conclusion. I was the concluding speaker on our side, and Bob was the concluding speaker on their side.
Nice.
So, of course, it felt great to win. But like I said, I had a huge advantage there because is democracy for sale? Of course, you know it. Everybody knows it, right? Even most conservatives know it. Okay.
You moved that fucking furniture around. That's what you did.
I did move it a little. So it was a great, great experience. I'm super happy that they invited me. And by the way, Oxford is brilliant, smashing really. I did some videos for you guys that were behind the scenes. You should check those out. It's gorgeous. I didn't know Oxford was that gorgeous. They have 38 different colleges within Oxford. It's colleges doesn't mean the same thing that it means over here. It's actually a place where they live and eat, etc. And then they get some scholarships and money, etc. from their colleges. Mm-hmm. It's a little complicated. Anyway, but beautiful. You go to one quad after another. It's so, and we had a perfect day there. And then we went to Bath for another day, and that was gorgeous too. And we hit a really lucky period where it was just great, great weather. Anyway, Young Turks fans all over, wonderful to see. I told Anna this morning, but a bunch of people came up to me and said Anna was their role model, and it's just great, great to hear. And she said, look, you guys are all great. We like you. You know, I like all the hosts. But Anna speaks for us. And so
these are female viewers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But also, so the ones who said that were female viewers. But male viewers mentioned you over and over again, too. And look, sometimes we tell you these things, like I said, up in the mountains of Canada. I'd get people coming up nonstop, also in not just at Oxford, but at Bath, random, right? Because we can't even quite believe it to this state.
Yeah. Because I mean, I hope you guys kind of understand, like usually the feedback that we're exposed to is not positive feedback, right? Like the vast majority of feedback I get, or at least the feedback I see, is negative. So when people say those positive things, it's like, or when people in random places around the world know us, it's kind of crazy.
There is a bomb to cure this. To make the wounded whole and to cure the sick soul or something, whatever I blew.
Yeah.
I'm tired today, man. Yeah. Don't ask me about why. Anyways, you know, Anna's right. And you guys, we've talked about this the best. The trolls, speaking of megaphones, have a giant, giant megaphone.
Yeah.
They scream so fucking loud. Like, at least 50% of the YouTube comments will be horribly negative. And then you look at the like to dislike ratio, and it'll be like 3,800 likes, 111 dislikes.
Right.
What? Right? Yeah. But the trolls come in there and they scream and scream and scream, and it's hard to avoid. So when you see real people and they say nice things like that, there is a bomb to cure the sin sick soul. I think that was right. So folks in the UK, much, much love. All you members, check out the behind the scenes. It's just a fun little couple of videos from Oxford. And we'll see you tomorrow.